Stream The Score with Radio.com. It's easy. Go to Radio.com/listen or download the Radio.com app now and get all your favorite Score shows live on your mobile device. Stream The Score with Radio.com. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mullion Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
And we are delighted to welcome in Dr. Brian Cole. He's a professor, Department of Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, Rush University Medical Center. He is the team physician for the Bulls and the White Sox. Yu Darvish is not your patient. Can you tell us a little bit about this injury and the treatment of it?
So a stress reaction is typically an MRI diagnosis. And MRIs basically pick up water content in tissue. So when bone kind of lights up on MRI with fluid, one calls it typically a stress reaction. And the important thing is correlating that finding on the MRI with the way the player feels. The frustration with this case is this sort of fits and starts, if you will.
Mullion Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
1700.
The Bears surprise all, making a huge investment on Pro Bowl defensive end Khalil Mack.
Defense is out of ball. Definitely has some dogs. I'm looking forward to getting out there with them dogs.
Stay tuned for more on what Mack's presence means to the Bears.
Championships is definitely the goal.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A Radio.com station. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Joe's doing all the talking.
Joe Maddon.
It's a great time to just, like, talk about stuff.
World Series winning manager.
I don't understand the negative mindset whatsoever. I don't understand pessimism. I don't know enough to be pessimistic, quite frankly.
Connoisseur of fine art.
The David's all about pitching. The Salvador Dali's all about catching. The Mona Lisa, she's about putting the art back into the game and about defense because Renaissance chicks dig the leather.
Joe Maddon with Bernstein and McKnight. On The Score.
The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Tickets for the Chicago Wolves 25th anniversary season are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Be there for the home openers. The Wolves defend their back-to-back Central Division championships on October 13th at Allstate Arena. He is on Twitter at Cubs Joe Mad with two D's. He is Joe Maddon. And I know you manage a baseball team in town and all that, but look, the Bears got Khalil Mack. So it's
understood.
You know, whatever happens, man. Look, the Bears got Khalil Mack, and you, as a former quarterback, can understand the value of somebody like that just screaming around the edge and making your life miserable.
That is true, man. I mean, you walk up to the line of scrimmage and you see maniacs like that. It's kind of weird. Good for the Bears. It's a great deal for them. It's I think it really recreates their identity. The defense that they've been good, but this really. Epitomizes, exemplifies the fact that the Bears have always been known for their defense, and who's more about defense than he is right now?
We were comparing it to the way the reaction among Bears fans, like, oh, I don't know, something's going to be wrong with it. We don't deserve this. This it doesn't happen to us. Sound a lot like Cubs fans when all of a sudden, oh, here's Theo Epstein, here's Joe Maddon, here come all these draft picks at the same time. It's a fan base maybe learning that it's okay to start to believe again.
You know, it's when you say things like that, it reminds me of growing up where I did. I mean, and I often reference this, but so many times when you grow up, I grew up Catholic, and you know, there's this guilt thing out there that you don't deserve things all the time, and it's not true. Just enjoy the moment. This guy's gonna make a big difference for the sports scene in Chicago. I'm very happy for the Bears. But we got to get beyond those kind of thoughts. That thought process really bears no fruit.
Speaking of thought process, I was wondering if you had checked in on some of the things that Cole Hamill said about the rivalry that exists or perhaps doesn't exist between the Brewers and the Cubs. I know you guys feel it when you're on the field, but you know Cole mentioned that the vocal amount of support that exists up at Miller Park with all those Cub fans coming in for Brewers games. Cole kind of let it out there.
I didn't read it. I was not aware of that. I did not know that. You know, coming where he comes from, too, from Philadelphia. It's a different world there, too.
Uh-huh.
The rivalry that he had probably felt there against different teams on the East Coast in the past. You know, that's just his opinion, and I respect it. But I'm really not aware of what he had to say. I did not see it.
Oh, he just said that it wasn't quite a rivalry yet. You know, when something like that happens with a dispersal of Cubs fans just all over the place in that ballpark, that it just didn't quite feel. And he mentioned what you said, that he's been involved in rivalries before, and this one isn't quite there yet.
Well, I've always, you know, there's always been this thing, too, that people are, again, I'm not laying this on the media, but people attempt to contrive rivalries. That happened when I was with the Rays. Everybody wanted to say that this was rivalry between us and then the Marlins. And I just, really? I don't feel it. It wasn't there. The rivalry that you created with the Rays was the rivalry between the Red Sox and the Yankees. Even though the distance was pretty great, there's definitely was a rivalry there. I mean, you could easily talk about the Cardinal-Cubs rivalry as being legitimate. I mean, I felt that from the very first time I walked in, and I think this is an aspiring rivalry right now is probably the best way to describe it. Listen, the Brewers are good. They're really good. They showed that again last night. They have a deep bench. They have a really good bullpen. But I think what Cole was alluding to there is it takes time to really arrive at that point.
John Heyman, the veteran baseball scribe, was on earlier today on the Scores Morning Show, and he was mentioning that your overall relationship with umpires, he says, from the umpire's perspective, that maybe you're not their favorite guy for whatever reason. And you know, I think you've had five ejections, I want to say, this year, you know, tossed again yesterday. How do you view, first of all, in general, your interaction with umpires now, particularly over the strike zone stuff? And do you ever worry that going into a series that a relationship or maybe a reputation preceding you could affect the way games get called?
I'd love to know where John got that information from. I mean, that's really funny. Listen, I've been having to comment on all this crazy stuff the last couple of weeks, and yeah. I actually have a great relationship with the umpires. Last night was just one of those moments. I was defending my pitcher, but anytime I get ejected, I'm always talking to these guys the very next day. I support the umpires probably as much as anybody, and for years I've talked about the great job that they've done. I've got a great relationship with Mr. Torrey. Just because I got ejected a couple times recently doesn't mean I have a bad. He did what he was supposed to do last night. Gabe was supposed to throw me out last night. He did what he was supposed to do. That's just the way the game plays. But to start trying to indicate that there's some kind of an issue there, that's not true at all.
The lip reading was great yesterday because the camera was right on the two of you and neither one of you was attempting to hide anything. So if anybody really wanted to enjoy that conversation in its entirety, yeah. It was kind of right there for us.
I went too far, and actually I did text Mr. Torrey last night and told him that I wanted to apologize to Gabe because I did go over the top, that he was right and I was wrong, and that I probably should have got out of that argument sooner.
I was hoping we could go through the play that ended it last night as well, or yesterday as well, the Chris Bryant play where he tries to make the 5-3 double play. Is that a situation where you think perhaps, you know, as soon as he turns the way he did, that's the option left to him, you know, because of some of the runners? I wonder if you can kind of walk us through the X's and O's of making that play as opposed to, you know, maybe coming home or anything else.
Well, I talked to him afterwards. When you're going to go for the double play, like you saw, we did that five-man infield not too long ago, and it worked because we had that double play for sure up the middle, so you take it. That one right there with the Yelich running, there's gray areas in that thing. And I told him, in your mind, if you know for sure you can get a double play, you go for it. Otherwise, you go for the Sherrod at home plate because that run cannot score. It's just that. And understand, this game's going 1,000 miles an hour. The ball is scorched. It's a great play for him to catch the ball in the first place. And then he has to make this decision immediately. So it's not like he did anything wrong. Had he been just a click quicker, he would have had a double play. But that's what you got. You have to make that decision in a nanosecond there. And he chose to go for two, whereas probably if you retrospectively play back, going for one might have been the right thing to do.
Outside of your ejection, what runs through your mind in a situation that starts to build and spiral in the way that the C.J. Edwards situation started yesterday? And even, you know, continuing a little bit with C-Shack, when's the right time to get somebody up just in case? Do you think, because you have the expanded roster, you know, how do you time that? And when do you decide, look, maybe it's just not this guy's day?
Well, I've done that. You know, I've seen that recently in the past when I took Stropia out in the ninth inning. I thought it was, you know, like you said, what might not have been his day. Yesterday, part of that was CJ was really well rested, although he had been warming up the previous 2 days. He had just struck out Aguilar and a really good curveball in the dirt that he chased. And you're right. I mean, I could have. C-Shack was ready. We could have came in for Moustakas, but before the game began, I really wanted Carl in that middle of that lineup because of the lefty coming in. That's CJ's bailiwick, man. He's normally really good against left-handed hitters. So, and it's also a confidence-building moment for him. He gets him out. I mean, this really plays well for us the rest of this month. And if he doesn't, obviously it doesn't play as well, but you give him that opportunity. And it didn't work. It just did not work. And then C-Sheck gets the out. Eventually we lose the game, whatever. But it's a real fine line. You're walking there between building somebody's confidence and knowing, you know, moving the line along a little bit. But before the game, you knew they were going to pinch it for Perez. I think it was like a line of three or four guys in a row. And Carl was going to be the guy. That would have been his last hitter for me had I been out there also, which was Moustakas. But that was it, trying to build his confidence. He still had something left in the tank. Again, the walk, that's the one thing, Carl, we got to really work through. But stuff-wise, he had outstanding stuff.
What's the early return for Chris Bryant as he's changed the swing some? I'm looking at a 3-for-11. He's got himself the double, a couple of strikeouts. It's only been a couple of at-bats, but I know this is the two-hand finish is something that you and he had kind of talked about some. So I was wondering how you thought it went early on.
Not bad. He's had two really good swings, maybe three, that he's fouled the ball straight back under and just underneath it a click with the two hands left on the bat just to really set his sights just a little bit higher. And those pitches are going to be hit really well. So overall, I thought it looked pretty good. I think his at-bats have been good. It looks like he's seeing the ball well. The game's not fast. My biggest concern has been his legs and how do you feel? I mean, I've probably asked him way too many times already, how do you feel? And he just smiles easily and says, no, I feel good. And so I just let it go. So he's playing again tonight. But so far, so good. I've been really impressed with his defense, too. Man, third base and in the outfield, he's moved around really well. He's thrown the ball perfectly to first base. So he looks good. He looks good. The swing looks good. He's just been underneath just a couple pitches.
How concerned are you about Daniel Murphy's defense? Because it just doesn't seem like he's moving the way. And maybe we're spoiled by the way we've seen Cubs second baseman move, and that just having that lack of a step is more glaring on this team. But that's an important defensive position.
Of course it is. And, Daniel will be the first one to tell you that. We have taken him out with the lead late, as you've noticed. To this point, I don't think it's really been a huge issue for us. He's actually made some good plays. But you're right. We are used to a very high level of defense. The good side is with the lead after his at-bat, maybe in the seventh inning, you get him off his feet for two innings also. So even though he's played almost every game since he's been here, it's been rare that he's actually played nine innings of every game that he's been here. And I think that's going to be helpful, almost like Zoe, keeping him really rested and well for the rest of the season. But, yeah, we are looking to move the defense around. We have done that. I know you've seen it almost every game. By the end of the game, I want the defense on the field to be as good as it possibly can with the lead. When you're not leading, you take chances because you have to keep whomever you consider your best bats. You always know what the bullpen's going to look like in the latter part of the game. You try to keep certain guys in there. So, Daniel, he's doing his work. Listen, he works his butt off. He's engaged in every pitch. Really been impressed with all that. But we're always going to look to increase the defense at the end of the game.
Some of that moving around is got to be because Jason Hayward's not there. How is Jason? Is it just kind of a watch and see sort of thing? And do you expect to have a timeline relatively soon or not quite yet?
Not quite yet. I talked to him yesterday. He's feeling better. It's not really bothering him like it had been before. So but the next step would be to get rid of all of that, whatever he's feeling in his leg, and then they'll start getting into probably agility stuff and some kind of light running on the field, and then you move back into baseball activities after you're satisfied with all of that. So it's a little ways away yet. I'm not exactly sure how much deeper into the September, but he is improving, but it's still going to be a bit away.
How about Brandon Morrow?
Yeah, I think he's playing catch again today, I'm pretty sure. Or was it yesterday? There's so many guys to keep track of there. He's doing well. He has not regressed. There's been no, it bothered him again. I've not heard that at all. So it seems to be progressing slowly, gradually, but it's progressing.
All of a sudden, the starting pitching has settled in. You know, it just seems that we had that little spasm of panic, and then you're going out and winning games against some of the top starters in baseball with some very solid performances that these guys have strung together. So here comes Mike Montgomery tonight. And we know that he has been working to try to create a little bit more swing and miss. And he said, and add some tilt to his breaking pitches, and maybe some of that's in sequencing. What's his health like now in return? Is he fully 100% and in full command, everything he's trying to throw?
I think so. I thought he threw the ball really well in Atlanta.
He may have run out of gas a little bit. We've run into some really warm weather lately, and these pitchers have been really fighting through six innings when they can get there. So first time back, I thought he did well. Thought the fastball a little bit more jump. The curveball is real. His changeup was outstanding, actually. So tonight's a good test for him. I mean, it's a really good offensive lineup there. They have a good offensive right-handed and a good offensive left-handed lineup. He does, when he's pitching well, puts the ball on the ground. You're going to see Addison up the middle with Javi tonight. Murph's getting the night off against the left-handed pitcher. So you got all these different things going on. But we have to catch the ball when Monty's pitching. And normally the ball is going to be in play. And when he's really on top of his stuff, it's normally on the ground.
Cubs manager Joe Maddon joining us here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Joe, I'm going to compare two things that might not be the same in your brain, but they kind of are when I'm watching games. So bad equivalency aside, you'll have to forgive me. What's more fun for you right now, having more arms to call out of the bullpen and having options there, or having a guy like Terrence Gore that you get to just kind of throw out there and make something happen with? It seems like you get to be pretty creative this time of year.
Yeah, well, we had talked to Hyder well in advance of the Gore situation once we got to that point where we were going to use him, and we try to really pinpoint that before the game. It's always fun to have that on the bench, but normally, just like the bullpen, though, normally if you're going to use him, it's probably a tied game or it's real something very tense towards the end, but he handles it very well. I spoke to him the other day when we got him, and I said, listen, I want you to go out there and just play like you always have. Don't worry about getting thrown out or making a mistake. Just go play. Do what you've done in the past. And he picked the second pitch yesterday, breaking ball, and he did it very easily. That's fun, having that kind of speed, because we normally don't have that. And the other part, but the bullpen, it is augmented in a sense, but primarily you're still going to use the same guys normally when the game's a winnable game. The other guys are there to help you in situations way up or way down normally. So like last night, for instance, we had a nice bullpen available last night. It just didn't work out. But I'll tell you, I know you've noticed that Chavez has been exceptional. De La Rosa has really done a great job. Also, you saw Rosario again last night. So even like these new additions who have not been there the whole year have really made a big difference in our ability to do things in the latter part of the game and latter part of the game to win it. So that's wonderful. The other guys, we got to get Norwood in there when we can. We'll get Maples in there when we can. But it's the tried and true so far. When you have a chance to win the games, they're going to be out there.
The Gore thing is fun because, you know, then you start thinking about the fastest players you've seen. You know, you get back to these discussions like Herb Washington, these career pinch runners, and hell, my years of working in A-ball, it's like every organization had a guy they drafted because all he could do was run, and then we got to watch these organizations try to make him into a baseball player, but it's still incredible to me that Gore has been able to hang on around the fringes just by being insanely fast for as long as he has.
That's true. I mean, and I think it was more prevalent earlier on when I was scouting coming up. I thought there was more speed, just, you know, blazing speed, and it was attempted to be utilized more often, more base stealing attempts than you're seeing today. I mean, the minor leagues, a big day in the minor league camp was like 60-yard dash day. Mm-hmm. That was huge. You know, they'd get out there morning, we'd run it early, and you know, you'd have a little betting, side betting going on. Who's the fastest guy in camp? And I've often talked about that. There was a time like 6'4", 6'3", 5 would win the Angels camp when I was a player. Was pretty much like that done in Hopeful. They actually had a nice track to run on specifically just for one day. It was always a big thing. I don't know that we emphasized it as much as we did then. We used to really be big on times. Times of first base, 60-yard dash times. Speed and arm strength was the thing you really look for as a scout coming up. I think more of the bat is scouted more heavily now. At that time, you thought if you got the good athlete, you took your chance on teaching him how to hit a little bit more. I think now you want the guy that can hit and maybe teach him the other parts of the game as it moves along. It's not necessarily constructed in the order that it had been.
What's your biggest challenge with the roster as currently constructed, position players? What's your biggest challenge in trying to keep everybody fresh, everybody engaged, everybody healthy, and to try to salt away a division championship?
Well, I don't think it's a whole lot different than it has been. It just permits us to do different things during the game, having more people available. Last night, I hit for Schwarbs a little bit earlier with more than I would, but just had to take that shot right there. May wait longer. If you have less people on the bench, you may wait longer to do things. Now you can do things because you know that you're going to have more folks at the end if you need them. That's the primary difference. I think more readily, if you have to pinch it, you know, some guys are just going to have to understand that. You have almost about 4 or 5 months worth of information now. Either they've been good against a certain style of pitching or they have not. And so now we're trying to win, so people cannot be so sensitive when you get to this point now, this time of the year, that there are more people, there's better matchups. We got to definitely work them now because the bench is longer. So the primary difference is that you're probably more ready to do something earlier in the game as opposed to waiting just based on the sheer numbers that you have.
Joe, I was thinking about something you said earlier, the idea that bullpen arms, the guys late are going to be the guys that have been there before. And I was just trying to think about, you know, the bullpens you've had here with the Cubs and how they've changed a little bit each year as you go into the postseason. How difficult a job is it as a reliever to get yourself into consideration for postseason work if you haven't been there all year long? If you're a guy like Dylan Maples, to try and throw yourself onto that roster, what kind of things do you look for from those arms that could potentially get themselves involved?
Well, those are game changers, the guys that have not really been there all year, but all of a sudden surface at the end. I'll give you two great examples with Frankie Rodriguez with the Angels and then David Price with the Rays. I mean, Frankie, I remember the conversations about Frankie. He was still in the minor leagues in mid-August, and we're trying to get him to the big leagues. And at that time, when you get in a meeting, there's folks that are really adamant this should happen, and then there's others that are very tentative. And not having seen these people, you don't have any idea because you're coaching on the major league level, so you have to rely on conversation. So Frankie, truly, he came up. All of a sudden, he popped him in a couple games early September. Wow. There was that slider. There was that command. There was that fearlessness. Yeah, you have to consider him. The same thing happened with David Price. And another starting pitching example was Matt Moore when he started that first game against the Rangers in Texas, having, I think, started maybe one other game for us all year in New York. And we're pushing him into the first game of a playoff because we thought the stuff was that good. This guy was special and he was able to handle it, et cetera. So it's up to the player kind of to really force your hand. And that's based on opportunity. Of course, Dylan would have to get into some games and show that kind of command. And his slider is devastating. Mm. It's kind of like a Frankie Rodriguez slider is what it is, probably with a little bit more velocity.
Joe, last thing before we let you go. When you mentioned that you texted an umpire to say, hey, I went a little bit too far, is that protocol? How often is that expected? Is that just a little extra thing that you do? And I'm just curious, do you have the phone numbers of every umpire just in case? Or do you then get the ump's number so you can does Joe Torre say, yeah, here's his number, send him a note? What is proper protocol for those kind of things after the fact?
There isn't any established protocol. That's something I wanted to do. I've done it. This is the second time I've done it. When I think I've gone too far, I try to be proactively and let them know that I screwed up. And I thought I did yesterday. Retrospectively, I didn't like what I did and how I did it. So I'm not going to wait just for the letter. And there's times I'll wait for the letter because I knew I reacted properly. So yesterday I thought I was improper. So I wanted Mr. Torre to know that in advance. I didn't get Gabe's phone number to text him. I don't have phone numbers. But if there's another time that I thought was really bad that I did get a phone number and texted the umpire specifically, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's just me as a human being realizing that I went too far. And I wanted to know that I thought that. So he's a young umpire. I think he's really good. And I want that, you know, my diatribe yesterday to impact how he feels about himself. Our game needs good umpires, and he could be very good.
No, I think it's cool. I didn't know how common it was. I didn't know how often.
No idea. I have no idea.
A manager feels compelled to do something like that because it humanizes the interaction in a way that I think a lot of fans might not understand otherwise.
Yeah, I have no idea how often it were to happen. I just do what I do, and I felt it was necessary that I did that yesterday.
Are any other lineup news and notes we need to know? You gave us a couple of cookies there.
No, other than that, I needed to give Murph the day. Otherwise, it's going to look kind of normal after that. How about Rizzo's home run against Hader yesterday? I mean, that was a big, that was pretty interesting. I mean, we get to that point, and like I said, Carl is going to be really good, and we'll get him beyond yesterday. But really an exciting, highly charged baseball game yesterday. And that's after both teams had a day game the day before, came out yesterday, and both sides are very professional. I thought it was great.
And more coming tonight. Joe, thanks.
Yes,
we'll talk
sir.
Next week.
All right, guys, you be well.
That is Joe Maddon, the skipper of the Cubs, brought to you by Spot Hero. Finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter.
I was trying to think of the bullpen arms that he's added into, you know, his circle of trust as he's gone into the postseason a couple of times, and I'd focused on Cahill and Clayton Richard. You know what I mean? Those bullpens that just kind of been assembled at the back end of a season, and then you go, well, these are your guys. Kind of had forgotten about, well, the Frankie Rodriguez thing I hadn't thought about because Joe wasn't managing the team. But, yeah, David Price getting thrown in, given the pedigree that he had, you know, just absolutely worked into a postseason bullpen that had an impact there, too. That's a good reminder of what Joe's willing to do.
What do you make of what Joe Maddon said? 312-644-6767. And I'm glad he was very transparent about Daniel Murphy's defense.
Yeah.
It's basically get three plate appearances and get him out of there.
Yeah, right? No, he's managed it that way. You've seen what he understands about that defense given the way he's managed it. I think he put that out there.
And given what we're used to seeing for Cubs second base. And
which is
the,
better.
Which is, it's like a different animal.
So much better.
Different species of baseball player that you usually see out there. Oh, and the Bears got Khalil Mack.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And that's awesome. So that's
I was forgotten that for a moment.
In case you had forgotten, there are pictures of him looming wearing number 52 in practice.
At practice?
Hey, you fired up.
Yeah.
A little.
Kinda. Maybe
yes,
so.
Good luck, Quentin.
good luck, man. Now you got that guy over there. You know what I'm saying?
All right, you got Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
Bears fans, it's finally here. Keep it locked on the score as we prep you for Game 1 versus the Packers. The oldest rivalry in football kicks off the 2018 season. And all of our shows and team of Bears experts are bringing you the in-depth coverage you crave. Leading right up to game time, we are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's home for Bears fans.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Barbasol. Here's a no-brainer. Barbasol is making razors. Try the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus today. Listening to John Gruden talk football on TV was often confusing because he frequently lapsed into footballese to avoid saying anything critical. But that was nothing compared to his explanation of the trade the Oakland Raiders made over the weekend, in which their best player, Khalil Mack, went to the Bears. The Raiders got back two first-round picks and a third, but gave up one of the game's best defensive players, and a second-round pick. Gruden said one of the reasons he took the Raiders' job was Mack. Then he said he hadn't spoken to him during the negotiations. He said he had nothing to do with the deal made by general manager Reggie McKenzie, but also said the offer the Bears made was unique. He expects to win now, but knows the team needs to build for the future. Confused? Join the club. I'm John Feinstein.
There are two kinds of people. Those who go home to change, and those who roll with the times. Wrangler makes jeans for the second group. The trendsetters, the mavericks, the leaders of the pack. Those who are bound by nothing. From bull riders to rock stars, from work life to nightlife. You roll with the times? Yeah, so do we. With new styles and great fits. Wrangler, real comfortable jeans.
This week's look back at baseball history takes us to 2002, when the Oakland A's set an American League record by extending their winning streak to 20 consecutive games. In front of 55,528 fans, the A's blew an 11-run lead to the Royals, only to hit a walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth, giving Oakland the historic 12-11 victory. This moment in baseball history is brought to you by MLB brand Chicago Cubs Edition Frozen Waffles, Burritos, and Chimichangas, which can be found in the frozen food section at Tony's Fresh Market. Text BASEBALL to 811-811 today for your money saving coupon.
Hey there, I'm a glue stick, so I have one job. I glue kids' stuff. So sorry for being jealous of Geico, who does a ton more, like give you 24/7 access to thousands of licensed agents. And Geico has been around for over 75 years and has a 97% customer satisfaction rating. While I've just got mediocre adhesive skills, Geico also has an award-winning mobile app. Uh-oh, arts and crafts time. No eating the glue stick. Miss Lydia!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
There's a difference between do-it-yourself and do-it-for-a-living. At the Home Depot, we get that. And we're here to help pros get the job done with the products and brands you trust. Technology to keep your job on track. Job site delivery to save you time. and bulk pricing on over 4,000 items every day to save you money. When you've got a job, we're on the job. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Buying a home should be one of life's best experiences, but today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher payments. And that can turn a great experience into an anxious one. At Quicken Loans, we've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. It's called the Power Buying Process. We check your income, assets, and credit to provide you with a verified approval, which can give you the strength of a cash buyer. Once verified, you qualify for our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days while you find your new home. Then, once you've found your new home, if rates have gone up, your rate stays locked. But if rates have gone down, your rate drops, and you get to keep that new lower rate. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, the ghost is back. This house is protected through Progressive, but that doesn't mean it's not haunted. How else would you explain that radiator-like clanking sound? Or the moon-colored light in the hallway that's gone by morning? Maybe he never bundled home and auto, and he's doomed to suffer an eternity without the savings.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
What was that wind-like sound? Oh, right, the wind.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Ryan Urlacher joined to talk about it changed the way the middle linebackers play when you came into the league because your athleticism, your explosiveness, your size for the position, it wasn't the prototypical middle linebacker. Nowadays, you look at the way middle linebackers and inside linebackers are, and they're more like you. They look like you. They're built like you. They could all run.
Yeah.
Do you think you came into the league at the right time?
Yeah, I think the game is changing now. You know, you look every year, every position gets bigger and faster and stronger, and that's just the way it's going to keep going forever, I guess, now, because everyone's getting bigger. And then Lovie's system, I think I was built for. Coverage-wise, we all knew exactly where to fit. So it was a fun defense, and the thing I liked about it was you didn't have to think. It was simple. You know, we just knew where we were going every single play and allowed us to play fast.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Saturdays at 8 a.m., don't miss Sports Medicine Weekly. Fitness, nutrition, and injury prevention and treatments for today's weekend warrior and professional athletes. With renowned specialist of shoulders, elbows, and knees, and chief doctor for Midwest Orthopedics at Rush, Dr. Brian Cole, along with other health and fitness leaders, and your host, Steve Cashel.
We know the operation works. You lose time by trying non-surgical treatment, so we're going to pull the trigger sooner than we used to, say, 15, 20 years ago.
Sports Medicine Weekly, Saturdays at 8 a.m., here on 670 The Score. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. The new Bernstein and McKnight Show. Middays 9 a.m. to 1.
David Bodie, the guy who actually hit it. They tear your uniform off like it's the Beatles in 1965.
I was running bases. I knew my arm was up, and I was like, put your arm down. I just couldn't put it down.
The new Bernstein and McKnight Show. Middays 9 a.m. to 1. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
One-stop shop for everything barbecue.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
We have depth charts. We have Bears unofficial depth chart.
So ridiculous.
Here it is. We have names. We've got positions. We've got starters.
Celebrate and bathe in it for
indeed,
a little while.
Indeed,
huh?
Eric Kush is the left guard.
All right. Rookie
James Daniels listed as the backup for all three interior line positions. You know how excited we get over interior line play.
Very excited. Almost excited as John Gruden gets over interior line play.
The starting wide receivers are listed as Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel, with Kevin White and Anthony Miller the backups. Khalil Mack, his name is, I see it. It says right there, 52, yep. Khalil Mack, OLD.
Is he a doctor of sacks?
Yes, he is.
That's his doctor.
Many times over. He's there. However, Roquan Smith is listed as the backup at inside linebacker to Nick Kwiatkowski. There really isn't anything else in question here. But we got names. There's actual people, actual names listed there in Bears positions.
You know, looking at the depth chart and the rework that Ryan Pace has been able to do, been allowed to do, kind of brings me back to something we were talking about earlier on when we were talking with Rich Campbell right at the beginning of the show. Kind of the reprieve that Ryan Pace had after his first couple of seasons as general manager here. We gave a little shot to John Gruden because he's so excited about his interior offensive lineman when he's what is it, some pep rally for Raiders fans or something. I don't know where he was exactly when he was screaming about Khalil Mack coming back to the Raiders, but in so doing he also praised the interior of his offensive line and how good they were gonna be. I don't know that this, granted, it's a great move. I don't know that this necessarily changes my opinion overall of Ryan Pace yet. And perhaps it's a strange place to be. I think I've been a little bit more critical or quizzical, I guess, of Pace and his moves, the construction of his teams than you have been, which is fine. I think you've got a pretty decent reason to be hopeful, even without Khalil Mack. I think you got a pretty decent reason to be somewhat skeptical, even without Khalil Mack. But the more, you know, we talked with Vic Tafer of The Athletic, who covered the Raiders. We've heard through various different reports about the confusion, the panic that was around the Oakland front office. It's one thing to go out and get Khalil Mack, give up the draft picks, and pay the premium to do it. It sounds like a lot of general managers in the NFL were willing to do so. And I don't mean to downgrade Ryan Pace or his aggressiveness, which he's shown before in acquiring Mitchell Trubisky, well-placed or not. I don't necessarily mean to downgrade the move, but if everybody's lined up to go get Khalil Mack, that's, you know what I mean? It's not quite the bright, shining star that it might otherwise be. I'm still waiting to make sure that Ryan Pace has made moves correctly here. I mean, it still hinges around, listen, as much as Khalil Mack is this plug-and-play type dude because of the position he plays and how well he plays it, this is still around Mitchell Trubisky.
Sure.
Pace's job, his reputation, everything is still focused around Mitchell Trubisky.
But his margin for error, everybody's margin for error changed.
It did. It absolutely did. But if you look more like the Jaguars and have Blake Bortles, who's just getting you through some games, and sure, having some where he looks pretty damn good, and sure, in a playoff game, he's running down the field and picking up first down with his legs, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, he's got things he can do. But, you know, if at the end of this season or if at the end of the next season that you're looking at that offense, just for what it's worth, and you're more Jacksonville than you are what we expect the Bears to be, the top end of this talent, then, you know, my evaluation of Ryan Pace isn't going to be necessarily as bumped up or buoyed by the acquisition of Khalil Mack as I think it might feel today.
But Pace is telling you, he's telling you, raise expectations. That's what he's doing. I mean, they won't say it explicitly, but what this move does...
They've worked very hard to not.
Exactly.
But even this weekend.
But this move informs us that it's okay to expect them to be good right now. Look at everything in totality here. Not this move, not that move. Look at Nagy telling you he's had 2,000 snaps in practice, and that means as much as anything out there. And
right.
We know what we have.
Right.
We don't need to expose him to the risk of getting hurt because we know what we have. Look at everything together. How confidently they stood in front of you over the weekend to crow about this trade. I think these are big boys. I really do. And I think they're asking you to hold them to that high standard. Look. I had a playoff expectation before this move was made because this is the NFL and you can stop sucking in the NFL
immediately.
You're allowed to just get good. So when they go out and they double down on their improvement by saying we may get three great years out of one of the best pass rushers walking the face of the earth. This is it. This is your team. These are your Bears. That depth chart I just read, compare it to last year and tell me you can't expect that team to go do something. There is not a game on this schedule that I don't think they're capable of winning. There is not one that I can look at and say they don't have a chance. Not this team.
Well, that's true. I mean, that way of looking at it is fine. I just don't. They've worked so hard to couch any kind of expectation conversation. And maybe that's just what it is. Maybe that's what they've chosen to do. And for whatever reason, maybe it just entertains them to go out there and not tell you about their own expectations. But because of the way they said, why Khalil Mack? You know, over and over again, they got asked, what about this player let you spend this kind of money? What about this player led you to give away this kind of draft capital? And over again, they said that because of who he is, not because of where we think Mitchell is, not because of where we think the rest of the defense is, not because of other receivers you brought in this offseason. They said because of who he is and what he's able to do on the field, this had to happen for us. And yeah, connecting those dots to the rest of the offense and to whatever you expect Vic Fangio to do for that defense schematically, yeah, that's a fair point. And it absolutely brings expectations up. It damn well better because they won't do it themselves, at least not vocally, and not outside of Halas Hall.
I mean, what do you need? What do you need to see or hear or feel to not raise expectations? Say, well, I don't know, 7-9 this year. No, not in this league.
It comes back to Mitchell Trubisky again. Yep. It just comes back to the quarterback over and over again. And I started the show like this, and I still come back to it. You added one of the most sure things in football.
And you have one of the most unsure things in football.
I can't get my head around that.
Yeah, that's why I tweeted what I did.
It's bizarre to me.
Like I think the second thing I tweeted after the retweet of Schefter was no pressure, Mitch. It's what he said to us.
Yeah.
Remember, we had Trubisky on to say how much is riding on your shoulders. Like, if you're good, everybody eats. If you're bad, everybody's fired. And he said, no pressure, right? And now it's like, you grow up now. Be good now. Right now. Go.
Yeah, it doesn't mean his reads can be any... We talked with TJ Yates about this earlier. It doesn't mean Mitchell can make any worse reads because he's got Khalil Mack. It doesn't mean that he can check out of an RPO because it didn't feel like it or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, he still has to be good. They have a bigger margin for error if he's not. They have the opportunity to perhaps have a defensive bailout game. I'm not saying like the Arizona Cardinal Monday night game or anything, but like you've got the ability to have one of those. It doesn't mean that lack of consistency, it doesn't mean they can be wrong still.
The bottom of the hour was brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Tickets for the Chicago Wolves 25th anniversary season are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Be there for the home opener as the Wolves defend their back-to-back Central Division championships on October 13th at Allstate Arena. There are several texters saying, I've never heard Bernstein this excited about the Bears. Yeah, you have. Look, there's a time and a place for it, and this is one of those places. This is one of those times and places to get excited about your team when they get one of the best pass rushers walking the earth.
Any other team pulls this off and it's a no-brainer and you look around. You know, what are we doing if he goes to Green Bay? What are we doing today? What does our show sound like if he goes anywhere else? It's, well, where were the Bears on this? We would be spending an hour on whether or not Green Bay got better or whether these guys got better. You would be spending an hour. We'd be checking in with everyone we could find to figure out if the Bears were keyed in on that.
In Maywood, this is Mark on the Score. Hi, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon. I just want to say that you commented you think they're capable of winning any game on this schedule and that you had playoff expectations before this season and before the trade for Mack. If you look at their schedule, they're looking more like a 9-7 team, possibly 10-6.
The thing is, you have no idea what the schedule looks like until you actually get to that week against a team and know who's hurt and who's not. Looking at a schedule now is a fool's errand.
Okay, but it's contingent on two things: them staying healthy, and really the most important thing is the development of Trubisky. If he's not good, don't expect this team to win 8, 9, 10 games.
No, I said that. If he's bad, everybody's fired. He hung up.
Okay.
All right.
No, it's regardless, it's fascinating to me. The league itself is fascinating to me that you can do what you did over the weekend, and we still come back to the same, you know, boiled down essence of questions we've got around this team.
So if they don't make the playoffs, are you disappointed in this year?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's your expectation for the team is to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I guess unless...
There's just so many ways to not make the playoffs.
Correct, and there could be some other mitigating factors that maybe they don't make the playoffs due to injury and also Trubisky's awesome.
There's all sorts of ways to do it. If you assume league average injury rate, which would be a big improvement for them,
It just depends who.
Yeah, injury rate is one thing.
Right, but at some point, you claim expectations. At some point, you have to say, this is my expectation for this team.
Correct, but after the fact, if they don't reach it, I can then say it's obvious why they didn't, and sure. I'm not as mad at them if they lose their three top players. They're not the same team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Team, right? So, yeah, if they can keep everybody healthy and develop along the proper developmental curves, yeah, make the playoffs. Make the playoffs. Do something.
We're going to be watching. Well, you might not be on Sunday night, at least not live. That'll be difficult for you, I know. Especially the level of excitement you've had all morning long.
I know.
People are going to be watching.
My mom would go, if we tried to turn on
so it's,
a
it's,
television.
It's no, right? I mean, this isn't like a someone could have the iPad under the table situation during Rosh Hashanah. It's not happening. It's death.
I don't know that I want, because think about consuming it that way. Because then if you got like my kid going, yes, I'd be like, what's happening?
That's
what's
the
going
thing.
On?
You're going to want to watch this. You're going to be looking at the sidelines when the Bears come out on defense looking for 58 and 52.
I know.
You're going to be looking for numbers at each individual defensive huddle. When's the last time you cared? Anyone, any Bears fan cared that much about checking that level of detail for this? When?
I don't know. But this is
so. Don't watch it on the iPad under the table during Rosh.
No,
okay.
I'm going to want. We'll want to get home. We'll have the apples and honey. We'll race home. We'll put it on and watch it then. I think it's just my best bet.
It's probably the best way.
Right?
Yeah. And then you stay up late.
And I don't hear about it. And I will, because I won't be on my phone, because
you'll be insulated from everything.
We just won't turn the radio on. I guess,
the upset here is going to be your mother having the Bears game on just right there in the living room.
Could you imagine?
We're making an exception for this one, guys. You're good.
Could you imagine? It won't happen.
No, it won't.
No, it definitely won't happen. All right. Well, we are going to have conversations very soon with the afternoon guys. How about Danny Parkins working on Saturday?
Yeah, that's
how about
a thing. That was fun coming to do. In, that was in, fun to do with all of us.
In the whip around. Yeah. He comes in and grabs a microphone. He and Danielle, the Score's afternoon show, have a lot to talk about today on the Score.
Stream the Score with Radio.com. It's easy. Go to Radio.com/listen or download the Radio.com app now and get all your favorite Score shows live on your mobile device. Stream the Score with... This week's look back at baseball history takes us to 2002, when the Oakland A's set an American League record by extending their winning streak to 20 consecutive games. In front of 55,528 fans, the A's blew an 11-run lead to the Royals, only to hit a walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth, giving Oakland the historic 12-11 victory. This moment in baseball history is brought to you by MLB brand Chicago Cubs Edition Frozen Waffles, Burritos, and Chimichangas, which can be found in the frozen food section at Tony's Fresh Market. Text BASEBALL to 811-811 today for your money saving coupon.
There are two kinds of people, those who go home to change and those who roll with the times. Wrangler makes jeans for the second group, the trendsetters, the mavericks, the leaders of the pack, those who are bound by nothing. From bull riders to rock stars, from work life to nightlife. You roll with the times? Yeah, so do we, with new styles and great fits. Wrangler, real comfortable jeans.
When you're living your best life, you need the best unlimited. And right now with Verizon, anyone 55 and over can save up to $50 per month by switching to the best unlimited on the most awarded network. And this is the perfect time to switch to Verizon Go Unlimited, because you can get two lines for just $80 per month plus taxes and fees when you enroll in AutoPay. That's two lines for calling your family, texting your friends, or streaming your favorite movies and TV shows. So if you're 55 and over and you'd like to save up to $50 per month, don't miss out on this great deal. Switch to Verizon and get the best unlimited on the best network. And get two lines for just $80 per month with Go Unlimited. But you better hurry. This deal will not be around for long. Stop by your local Verizon store today or visit VerizonWireless.com to learn more. Paper fee billing and auto pay required for this rate. Rate applies only to phone lines for account holder age 55 years of age or older on the Go Unlimited plan and with an Illinois or Missouri billing address. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily prioritized behind other traffic.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, the ghost is back. This house is protected through Progressive, but that doesn't mean it's not haunted. How else would you explain that radiator-like clanking sound? Or the moon-colored light in the hallway that's gone by morning? Maybe he never bundled home and auto, and he's doomed to suffer an eternity without the savings.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
What was that wind-like sound? Oh, right, the wind.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
GEICO presents Unhelpful Home Improvement How-Tos.
Lightning can spark a fire in seconds. So today, I'll show you how to protect your belongings by covering them in a fireproof blanket fort. All you need is a hammer, nails, and 700 fireproof blankets. Upon completion, you'll notice your apartment isn't just fireproof, it's also extremely cozy.
You could try to protect your valuables with a fireproof blanket fort, or you could get covered for personal property damage through the GEICO Insurance Agency. Go to geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Introducing new LifeProof slip-resistant wood-look porcelain tile from The Home Depot. Starting at just $1.99 a square foot, it's 50% more slip-resistant than ordinary tile. It's waterproof, stain-proof, scratch-resistant, and works indoors or out. Step confidently in your kitchen, bathroom, patio, or any area of your home with new LifeProof slip-resistant porcelain tile. Just $1.99 a square foot. Only at The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Selection varies by store. Slip resistance based on tiles that meet a DCOF less than or equal to 0.42.
Summer's here, and that means a trip to Circle K, home of the one and only Polar Pop Cup. We're here to help you keep cool. In fact, you can't imagine anything colder. And Circle K lets you choose your Polar Pop Cup, your favorite flavor, or create your own custom masterpiece in the coolest cup around. Only 89 cents every day. Polar Pop lets you do you. Only at Circle K. Polar Pop!
Hey, Chicagoland Notre Dame fans and Score listeners. Take Fighting Irish football with you everywhere you go. On your mobile device, exclusively through the radio.com app.
Happy New Year, Irish!
Download the radio.com app now to hear every exciting play of Notre Dame football. On your mobile device, take the Fighting Irish with you anywhere you go. That's radio.com. Download it now to be ready for the next Fighting Irish game.
Begins.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I remember rookie minicamp. He takes our poor right tackle, picks him up with one arm, and sets him in my lap. I was like, oh my. Yeah, you don't see that pass rush very many times in the Mountain West, you know? So that was new for me.
He's not your teammate anymore. No. He's on the Bears.
No. Did you read? I read
Derek Carr.
It's over and over again.
Yeah, he's not on your team because your team didn't want him.
Did you, Vic Tafer, who we had weird. On? We had on earlier today. Wrote in the Athletic, Carr, who we just heard from, hinted that he guard Gabe Jackson, who John Gruden's all fired up about, and Ellis, Jelly Ellis, the defensive tackle, all trying to structure their contract extensions to help with Max. But Gruden said the Raiders weren't close to offering the six-year, $141 million deal with $90 million guaranteed that the Bears gave Mack after the trade. What do you got to feel? Because Carr and Mack got drafted the same season, right? They were the same draft. Carr went in the second round. Yeah, second round out of Fresno State. And Mack went fourth. How's it got to feel to know that you, as a teammate, did really the best you could? And maybe it's not a lot, you know, because you got to get yours. You have to make that second contract to the NFL, that big contract to the NFL, to give up the little bit that you can, or maybe a lot in some cases. Carr and Mack apparently were real tight to do what you can, to give back a little bit, to do the thing that Meatball fans are yelling about all the time, give a hometown discount to the Raiders, all that nonsense. And then they trade the guy you tried to give money on.
Right, not just that. Like, new coach comes in.
For 10 years and $100 million. You don't think that's got people in that locker room ticked off?
And everything that they're excited about. Then that guy comes in and gets the huge check. And there's no salary cap there.
No, there's not.
That's whatever they want to pay, and he gets that. And he's got all these thoughts about returning the football to an era of the 1990s.
Thoughts about going to Vegas.
And he doesn't want to use computers, and he's got his Gruden grinders and all that. And then they take one of the best players in football and trade him when they don't have to. I keep coming back to that. When they said, well, this is, we were forced into this, or we got to a point where we had no choice. It's not true. Vic Tafer said, and this is always my belief, he said that he believes, and he was talking to Khalil Mack multiple times during the holdout.
That's right.
He believes Mack would have reported today. They had all the leverage to keep him for multiple years. And everything within the collective bargaining agreement at their disposal to keep their best player for multiple. They just decided not to.
If everybody's written about how this doesn't happen, about a 27-year-old guy at the top of the list at his position in the prime of his career, how that guy doesn't become available, you know, ever. And Dan Pompey did a great job writing this up and went through some of the very few pass rushers like this who have been available at times, whether it be through free agency or trade or whatever, and just detailing all of the crazy things that mostly had to happen in order for that guy to hit free agency or get traded. When we look back at this and you detail the reasons, you know, perhaps that Khalil Mack was made available, people are going to look back at this and go, I don't know why. They had all the franchise tags and they were just about to move to Fed. Like, I hope that part of this doesn't get lost. That the panic that set in apparently in that front office doesn't get lost. Because it changed the fate of two franchises.
Next up, Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins, transition on the score.
Cubs fans, Albert Almora Jr. joins the McNeil and Parkin Show today at 2.
We're a great family in there, and we just got to keep grinding. There's no reason to freak out or to try more. That will never bring out the best out of us.
Albert Almora Jr. talks Cubs with McNeil and Parkins, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Official radio home of the...
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
If you're planning a bathroom update, chances are a boring vanity is not high on your list. At the Home Depot, it's not on ours either. Come in now or go online for up to 40% off a beautiful vanity you'd be proud to call your own. To match your style, whatever your style, and fit your budget perfectly. Sorry, not available in boring. Select vanities up to 40% off in-store, online, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through September 19th, Continental U.S. only while supplies last.
Circle K's Polar Pop lets you do you. Choose your Polar Pop cup, favorite flavor, or create your own custom masterpiece. Only 89 cents every day. Only at Circle K.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Lovie Smith.
I kept thinking a lot about Charles Tillman and his argument to be in the Hall of Fame.
So when you're the best at something that changes football games, you should be recognized that way. Again, Charles Tillman did something that no one, as well as anybody that's played the game. So he has to come into the conversation for that reason. I'm going to say the same thing about Devin Hester. When you're the best, there's a punt returner in the game of football. And when you're the best to ever play the game at that position, naturally you should be in the Hall of Fame.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station. Thanks for Streaming the Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Blackhawks head coach Joel Quenneville.
What's the proper way for us to interpret where Corey is and what he said?
Well, it's encouraging where he's at today. And we feel that, you know, when he gets on the ice again, he'll get a clear indication exactly how close he is to starting.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
One of Chicago's most legendary teams partners with 670 The Score. Official play-by-play home for Bulls basketball on the radio.
Levine, baseline. Well, right-handed, powered up. Oh, my goodness.
Rainbow three, go.
What a shot.
Zipser's going to attempt a left side three.
Yes.
The kick out, Portis, three ball for the tie.
Yes.
Bobby Portis has tied the ballgame with a triple.
Listen to every game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Your new radio home for the Bulls.
Thinking about running the Bank of America Chicago Marathon? Team One Step has your guaranteed entry. Our team supports Camp One Step, and we run.